since I mentioned this, let me just mention a few things that will give us some understanding of who Fatima radiallahu anha was. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of the ahadith says, Fatima bug'atun minni. Fatima is piece of my flesh. Anything that upsets her, upsets me. And whatever pleases Fatima, pleases me. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Fatima sayyidatu nisa'i ahli al-jannah. She will be the leader of all women in Jannah. And now when she's getting married to a person who says, I have nothing in my life. I don't even have the money to pay the mahar. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is marrying his daughter to that person. First question in our life would be, what does this person do for a living? What degrees does he have? That's the first thing normally people look at. And look at what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing here and how he's dealing with this situation. What a lesson that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set for the ummah. And then, okay, he did it. He married his daughter to this person who has nothing because of this person is very great, whatever that is. But after this, it may be, let's make it a big celebration so people will come and then tell them, you know, no boxed gifts, only cash, so they make a lot of money. Nothing like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he just called the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhi wa sallam, sitting there, come on, go ahead. This is the nikah of Fatima radiallahu anha. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invite people on that day at his home, at the masjid, announcements, nothing. Just in the masjid, simply. Just doing it in the masjid. Whoever was there, they attended the nikah. Anyone who wasn't there for that salah, they missed the nikah. This was number one. Number two, this next day is the time for walima. And remember, the sunnah of the walima is that it has to be on behalf of the boy, not on behalf of the girl. Not from the girl's side, from the boy's side. And we know Ali radiallahu anhu, he can't afford to have a big walima. So whatever he could afford, you come share the dates that we have here, mashallah, this is our walima. There wasn't any big event. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, he could have made an announcement. You know, my daughter got married yesterday, and today we are going to have a special gathering for that, an invitation for that. Nothing like this. This shows us the sunnah is just a walima, nothing more than a walima. In our situation, with all the traditions that we have borrowed from here and there, at least 5-6 different meals that people have to attend for just one nikah. Before marriage, and this is on the day of the engagement, and now, I don't know, after engagement, and then before the marriage, and the day of marriage, and after marriage, and subhanAllah, there is so much going on. The simplicity of Islam is the beauty of our deen. When the simplicity goes away, then everything starts getting difficult. We are making things difficult on our souls. People have to wait for years and years before they can afford to get married. Why? Because marriage is one of the most expensive things in our lives now. You have to invite a certain number of people. And you have to have certain food and then these many dishes and different items that you in your wedding. And it has to be, not you can't do it in the masjid, it has to be in a big place, a castle. You have to rent a castle before you can get married. And then mahar, you have to make sure that the imam says that the mahar will be $50,000 and let them fight for the rest of their lives. SubhanAllah, you know, we are just making things difficult on ourselves for no reason. If we make it simple, then the cost of one marriage would help marrying 15-20 families easily. Not just marrying them, taking care of all of their needs for a couple of months also with the expenses that we have on marriage. There are so many people, we people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given us some money. We spend so much on it. And there are people who are in their 30s, in their 40s, and they can't afford to get married. And we never think about those people. We are the same people who are telling people, don't go for Hajj, you're wasting your money. You go for Hajj, help someone else. For you're going to spend $3,000, $4,000 in Hajj, that's too much money. Do something else with it. And you're going to spend $120 for offering a sacrifice, don't you have anything better to do with it? Walayazu billah. You hear these type of things. That $120 for offering a sacrifice is a big issue there in the communities and everywhere, that why people have to offer so much every year. And if we look at how much each person is spending on the wedding of his children, we can support 50 or even more families really, not just individuals. We can support more than 50 families back home. But these are the things that come as part of traditions, and we never feel we are doing anything wrong with that. When it comes to spending for the Sharia, everyone starts feeling pain. That why are you spending so much money there? Anyway, this was the marriage of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that simplicity, and she goes to her home. Now, as I said, Ali radiallahu anhu rented a house. There was a sahabi whose name was Haritha bin al-Nu'man radiallahu anhu. Very lucky sahabi. This is a sahabi who owned the property around Medina Munawwar, around the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you remember, we talked about this sahabi long time back when we were talking about the construction of the masjid and the houses around the masjid. All the houses of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had 9 houses around the masjid, 9 wives at the same time. All of those homes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were given to him as a gift by this same sahabi, Haritha bin al-Nu'man. So he was very good with this, giving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these gifts of properties. Ya Rasulullah, you're getting married? The house is on my behalf. I will give that, you take the house for a gift from me. And because his property was attached to the masjid, so it was very easy, convenient for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would always accept the gift from Haritha bin al-Nu'man. So Haritha bin al-Nu'man, when he learned that Fatima radiallahu anha got married, so he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah, Fatima radiallahu anha got married. Up to now she was with you, now she's going to live in a separate house. Ya Rasulullah, these are the properties that I have. He gives him the list of all the properties he owns. Ya Rasulullah, these are the properties that I have. It will really make me happy as much as you take. The one that you leave, I won't be as happy with it as much as I would be with the ones that you would take. So take whatever you want and give it as a gift to your daughter and to Ali radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for him, and then he says, you know, if you just give them, I don't want to give them too much, but give them just what you normally give me, a house next to the masjid. And Ali radiallahu anhu gets a house next to the masjid. This is where Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhu lived after, since they got this house. So, this was the marriage of Fatima radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this marriage, he gave Fatima radiallahu anha a few things as a gift. And the list of those things is also mentioned in the book of Ahadith. He gave her a blanket and he gave her a mattress. The description of the mattress in the Ahadith is that it was made out the skin of a lamb and filled with leaves from the trees, from the palm trees. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave her a container of water. And in those days they used to have a leather containers in which they used to keep honey or similar type of liquid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her one of those also. And few more things that are mentioned in the hadith. So these were the simple things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered Fatima radiallahu anha. And by looking at the hadith, we see that after this, that was the only time these things entered into that house. Ali radiallahu anhu never bought no furniture, nothing for that house. So whatever was there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to them. They just lived with that. and they never worried of increasing things in their home and having now, no, this one doesn't match, the color doesn't match anymore. So you change the color of the wall. And after some time, because the color of the wall changed, now the whole furniture has to change. Now because the furniture has to change, and you change the furniture, and then you have to change the carpet. After a few days, someone will come and tell you the carpet and wall doesn't match. And this process, you know how this process keeps on going on and on and on in our homes. It's really nothing but we are increasing our needs. And it's not really needs, we are just increasing our expenses for nothing. And as Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu rahmatullahi alayhi says, that I lived in a neighborhood, this is what Abdullah ibn Mubarak says, I lived in a neighborhood where people all around me were very wealthy, well-to-do people. And those were the most difficult days of my life. Then I went and lived in a neighborhood where people around me were people that just making their lives, and they were not worried too much about dunya. And those were the most pleasant days of my life. Because when living in those areas, oh, the other person's horse is better than my horse. His car is better than my car. His furniture is better than my furniture. Let me change my car now. A person buys a car, $30,000. After a few months, he's not satisfied. A person pays $500,000 for a house. Few days later, few months later, no one in the house is satisfied with that house because the neighbor's house has something different. And it continues. This thing keeps on going on and on. These are the things that we learn, that we need to learn from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the life of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, how they lived and the simplicity in the life, and especially at a time when everyone around us, we feel that those people, they could not afford it. And this is why they were living that type of life. That was not the reason. In fact, unfortunately, we are living at a time where more than 90% around us are living in debts. More than 90% around us are living in debts. A person says, this is my house. Ask him how many more installments he has to pay on it. And I'm not saying whether in halal or haram. That's beside the point. We are not talking about mortgage and haram and falling into haram. Just generally. When a person is in debt, he is in debt. That's it. Point. And I mean, there is nothing. Now this person will have that burden on his mind that I have this and I have to pay for it. I have my house that I have to pay for it. I have this car, I have to keep on paying for it. I have these things that I own. In reality, it looks like this person owns it, but he really doesn't own it. This person does not own it. Yes, what to do with these situations? We are not talking about those solutions and those problems. The point is, we should reduce our expenses. We should learn how to reduce expenses. And we all can do that. If we look at how we are spending our money, really we can learn how to reduce the expenses so that we don't put ourselves into those type of situations where a person is just having that tension throughout his life that if I don't wake up today, if I can't make it to work, no matter how sick the person is, parents are dying, but he has to go and do it, and he has to go to the work because he has to pay that installment at the end of the month. So it's not really the need. It's the extras. It's the, we have how much... the expenses that we have added into our lives. These are the problems that are really leading us to a lot of hardships in our lives. So that was the reason Sahaba Ridwanullah al-Majma'in were living that type of simple life. If you look at the Kuffar of Quraysh, at the same time, those people are there. And those are the people who are living a luxury life. They are not living this type of life, simplicity with simplicity. And they are going on mortgages. We know that there are so many people who owed Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lot of money. He was working like a bank in those days because he was wealthy. So he used to give people money and charge mortgage on it, charge interest on it. And finally, when the ayahs of riba came down, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced it to the Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihim ajma'in that anyone who owes Abbas anything as a mortgage, it's forgiven. Just give him his own money back. That's it. So, people used to live that type of life in those days also. And same thing is happening nowadays. It's the same thing, the same train. We have to train ourselves in living a simple life so that we don't just keep on adding our expenses for no reason. during the same year. Rasulullah, end of the second year, in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam learned that there are some clans in a place called Najd. Najd, toward the side of Riyadh, in those areas nowadays. Two clans called Bani Tha'laba and Bani Sulaym. They are getting together and they are gathering armies from all around to attack Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in in Medina Munawwara. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam learned about it, he took 300 Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in with him and he went to their hometown to stop them from attacking the Muslims in Medina Munawwara. This is the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Then in the month of Shawwal, third year of Hijrah, of course, Dhul-Hijjah now, this month have ended. The month of Shawwal, in the third year of Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to know that the Kuffar of Quraysh are preparing huge army to attack Muslims and to take the revenge for the Battle of Badr. Before going into the Battle of Uhud, let's look at these situations and what is happening now. How continuously they are plotting against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, against Sahaba Ridwanullah alaihi wasallam. And every some days he hears that someone is gathering the armies to attack the Sahaba Ridwanullah alaihi wasallam in Medina Munawwara. The reason it's important for us to remember this is, number one, for us as Muslims to appreciate what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for the Ummah and how he very successfully continued teaching as the Deen of Allah, and very successfully he raised that group of Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in on this deen and iman with all the taqwa and ibadah and everything. And he never gave up anything just because of these situations that he was going through. So really it's something that we need to appreciate from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And number two, we can see how his schedule was. Subhanallah. You know, if we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam carefully, in the 10 years he spent in Medina Munawwara, out of those 10 years, 3 years were just out of Medina Munawwara. Totally, it comes to almost 3 years out of 10 years that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just out of Medina Munawwara because of these situations. So you see that what type of schedule Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have, what type of mujahada and a struggle Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in went through to convey this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, and how easy we are taking it, and for what simple things we are just giving up everything of our deen. If you look at those things, we can appreciate what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, what Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in did for us, and how they learned deen, how they practiced deen, how they preached the deen of Allah, and how they preserved the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what type of struggle they had to go through in order to preach and to learn and to preserve this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.